Rishus Marina Rav Shlita. I say this shil Iloi Nishmas, my dear mother, Bela Bas Rav Mordechai, Chron of Rocha, whose yahrzeit is today. She was a devoted member of this kehila, and as someone just reminded me, she used to help prepare items when it came to sewing and so on. And it's a privilege to be able to remind ourselves of her today. And my subject today is on machine-baked matzah. And many of us have simply grown up with machine-baked matzah and hardly knew anything else. But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have machine-baked matzah, he had hand-baked matzah. And there is a very interesting controversy which erupted on this subject 150 years ago, shortly after the Industrial Revolution, when a man called Itzik Singer devised a machine with which matzahs could be baked. The machine that he devised was perhaps something rather simple, with two cylindrical drums with a kind of roller, the sort of thing which as young children in the 1950s we would see our parents using when they took clothes out of the washing machine to press them. And this was pressing the dough made thin, and it was laid out, and they had cutting shapes which shaped the matzahs, which then went into the oven. And as the years developed, further kinds of machinery took place. Until now, of course, you've got such mod cons with electronic push buttons that the hand doesn't touch the dough or the matzah until all the way through its journey from kneading right through until it's come out the oven. To look at then a basic principle, the Gemara Pesachim Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis says Tzorich Matzah Mishtameres L'Shem Mitzvah. The dough has to be looked after, guarded, l'shem mitzvah, and the matzah has to be made l'shem mitzvah for Seder night. And the question which arises is that if you have a machine-baked matzah, is that called being baked by a person? There is a halacha that a matzah may not be baked by chereshot of a koton, somebody who's a deaf mute or a fool or a child. It has to be baked by a Jewish adult, a male over the age of 13 or a female over the age of 12. And that will render it to become kosher. So can it be possible for a machine to give you a kosher matzah? Well, you'll say to me, well, obviously, we get kadassia matzahs, which are machine-baked, which are signed by the rabbinate. But in part of Limud Torah, we have to understand some rationale behind it. Do we say that machine is an extension of the hand of a person? Or do we say no, that the machine can't have kavanah, the machine can't have concentration like the human being can have, and therefore you can't have a machine? And in fact, the Maharsham in his Tshuvas Chelek Dalet Kuf Chav Tes and the Levushei Mordechai Siman Ein Reish were saying that there is a problem, that since a machine-baked matzah can't have kavanah, can't have the right human intention in being baked, therefore there is a problem with a machine-baked matzah. And this question doesn't just relate to matzah, it can relate to other things as well. It can relate to tzitzis, and nowadays many tzitzis you buy, you can see the label avodas yad, to tell you that it's not machine made but it's spun by hand. And there are other shilas such as mikveh, and there's shilas of ibud oros to prepare the leather skin for, say, for Torah, tefillin, mezuzahs, and to what extent can you use machinery to say that it's still called the extension of a hand, as it were? Do we say that the pushing of an electric button relates simply to the immediate effect of happening now that it is biyad odom, and that what happens afterwards is not really the ma'aseh odom? Or can we say that once you've pushed the button and the machine is in process, that the whole process which follows is all directly from the hand of man? Or conversely, might we say no, that although the human being is pushing the button, what happens afterwards is not really from the hand of man, it's just a gromar, it's a causation, it's simply a consequence of the motion which started off originally from the hand of man. So what the hand of man was, it was like a koach rishon, and that afterwards might be called a koach sheni, and therefore might not be called Adam man. And then you get already the idea behind the controversy between those who support the hand-baked matzah and those who support the machine-baked matzah. It's interesting because if you look at, say, the melachos of Shabbos, where certain melachos require a machine to do the work for you. For example, if you put wheat into a grinder on Shabbos, you are chayav on Shabbos for the melach of tochein, for grinding. If you put bread in an oven, You could say, well, I'm not baking the bread, the oven is baking the bread. Does that mean you're not chayav on Shabbos? Of course you're chayav on Shabbos. So therefore, you see in those circumstances where the human being is doing the initial movement of something, but relying on some other force to effectively create that melacha for him. And that will make the person chayav on Shabbos. And if it makes the person chayav on Shabbos, then surely in terms of a mitzvah, baking matzah, we should say the same thing. The man pushes the button, and he sets the baking in motion of the matzah. The machine does the rest. Therefore, we'll say that it's the man who must be doing that. And there's a Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Samach, which talks about Zoe Veruach Masayaso, that is, the grain which had chaff and straw attached to it would be thrown in the wind, and nowadays it's done by machines called aspirators. So the grain was thrown in the wind, and the wind does the separation. So does that mean a person is high of Borer on Shabbos for separating the chaff from the wheat? He hasn't done it, the wind has done it. But he threw it into the wind. And in Bava Kama, it's talking about the laws of damages. Do I say that I'm chayav for causing nezek, for causing damage when I do these actions, when really it's not myself who's doing it, I'm just initiating it? So the Shalos Teshuvos Achiezer, Chelek Gimel Samach, actually says that what you've said regarding Hilchas Shabbos might not be a good comparison. Because although it's true that you are already chayav the melacha on Shabbos when you set something in motion and then the machine does the rest, that might not be a good comparison to other things such as baking matzah. Why? Because Hilchas Shabbos is a subject of its own where it says Meleches Machsheves Osur HaTorah, where it simply depends upon the way you've had your machshava, Niskayma Machshavto, and that there's a direct cause with the intention, and that might not equally apply to other dinim such as damages. Ah, but you might say yes, but if you've got Meleches Machsheves with Shabbos of direct intention to do a malacha, irrespective of how that malacha then comes about, you might say the same. Well, it's the same with baking matzah. With baking matzah, you've got the intention to bake a kosher matzah. There is also a kind of meleches machsheves. Therefore, if you push the button and you're not actually kneading the dough yourself, and you're not actually putting it in the oven yourself, you've effectively had the intention to make that happen. And therefore, it should be the same. Just like with Shabbos, then you're chayav for the melachos. So with matzah, you fulfill your mitzvah. That is a debate. So can we say that everything that machine does is governed by the human and therefore is considered baked by the human? Or do we say no otherwise? There is another principle in Shas which is worth mentioning. Eisha Mishum Chatzov. What's Eisha Mishum Chatzov? Eisha is a fire. If you light a fire, and the fire then spreads, and it causes damage, you can say, well, it's nothing to do with me. I lit the fire because I wanted a bonfire in my back garden. I wasn't going to be aware that the fire would be blown by the wind onto the fence, and the fence would catch onto the shed to my neighbor next door and then burn it down. That's not my fault. That's an act of God. Are you responsible or not? So the general principle of Eisha Mishum Chatzov is, yes, you are responsible. Eisha Mishum Chatzov, Chatzov means an arrow. The fire which is lit is like a man firing his arrow. The man who fires the arrow, he's saying, well, you know, okay, I'm using my bow and arrow, but I'm not making the arrow land in a particular place. Well, of course you are. You can't deny responsibility for the effect that your arrow will have, and fire lit by a person is like a person firing an arrow. The fire spreads and it causes damage. So can we apply this principle of Eisha Mishum Chatzov to electricity, that when you effectively move a switch, that is like Eisha Mishum Chatzov? And secondly, do we say though that Eisha Mishum Chatzov is only regarding damages, or can it be for other things as well? And that's how it might relate to the baking of matzah, by flicking the switch on the machine, which then effectively makes the dough and bakes the matzah. According to most Rishonim, Eisha Mishum Chatzov is a general rule and it applies to lots of things. It even applies to Shechita, and it certainly applies to Shabbos.
You can do some action indirectly, but it wouldn't normally do a lot if you did it directly. Like people barrel the water in front of the fire.
That's the question, because that is what you're talking about, is a groma.
Yes.
If there is a fire on Shabbos and you want the fire to stop spreading, so the Ramah says that you are allowed to put barrels of water around the fire, not on the fire, unless there's a danger to life. But if there's no danger to life, you can put water on the outskirts of the perimeter of the fire where it's not actually touching the fire, so when the fire spreads it reaches the water and the fire will go out. You're allowed to do that on Shabbos because that is a groma and it's not a melacha, although the Ramah says it's b'mokam hefsud, only when there's a loss involved, and that is allowed. And that is the question here. If you're baking matzah through a machine, maybe it's only a groma, maybe it's that you are causing the machine to effectively carry out the work, but it's not the human effort in baking the matzah. And that is the argument. And we therefore want to understand this principle in order to appreciate the machlokas which ensued between the opponents and the proponents of machine-baked matzah. Do we say that it is completely human effort, or do we say no, that there is a groma involved, or there's a koach sheni involved, and that would therefore invalidate the kashrus of the matzah for Seder night? Certainly matzah for the rest of Pesach, it hasn't got to be baked l'shem mitzvah. It's got to be kosher, and it mustn't have chometz in it, but it hasn't got to be baked l'shem matzah mitzvah like the matzah of Seder night. But there are poskim who are worried that people won't distinguish between the two, and once you allow one, then you'll get the other. Interestingly, when it comes to spinning the threads for tzitzis, the Sefer Machze Avrom says, tzorich koach odom, you need the koach of a person, tzorich lishmo, and he regards a machine doing the continued action as a groma. And he says it's not sufficient, and therefore the tzitzis should be avodas yad. There are others, though, who allow machine-made tzitzis. The Hatzvi, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Chazon Ish was happy with it, Simon Vov, Sivkot and Yud, the Tzitz Eliezer writes about it, Chelek Vov Tesvov. He says that the machine operator has the lishmo in mind, that when he operates the machine, he has in mind that it's being done lishmo, he's operating the machine, and just like a hand uses a knife, or when baking matzah, a hand is using a rolling pin to bake the dough, well, that's also a tool, that you're relying on something else to effectively create what you want to create, and therefore, why should a machine be any different to a rolling pin? That's the debate. So as I said, the very first matzah baking machine was invented by Yitzhak Singer. He lived in a place called Rapsweer in Alsace-Lorraine in France. And in 1835, yes?
Is that the same industrialist Singer that we associate with typewriting
and
sewing machine, or is
it
someone else?
I don't think it's the same Singer as the sewing machine. But he brought his machine to the local Rabbonim, who were very impressed with it, and almost throughout France and Germany, the rabbis felt that this was really something to be proud of. Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, the Oruch Laner, said how happy he is because it's better for kashrus and it's better for speed, and the Würzburg Rav, Rav Yitzchok Dov Bamberger, gave it his support. But after about 20 years, a major controversy erupted when it came before Rav Shlomo Kluger. Rav Shlomo Kluger, who was the Av Beis Din of Brody, and it was the Rabbonim generally of Poland and the Eastern countries who started to grow a resentment to the machine. What were the problems identified? Rav Shlomo Kluger, he actually wrote a sefer, a kuntras on the subject, called Modal Beis Yisrael. And he got other Rabbonim to support him and to add comments to it. And in this kuntras, he identified a number of problems why he felt that he could not support the machine-baked matzah. His primary, preliminary concern was an economic one. He said there are many poor people who rely on hand-baking matzah for their livelihood, particularly women, widows, who are working long hours in bakeries, and the 3 months or so they spent in baking the matzah gave them enough livelihood, panosa, for the whole year round. And there were many women involved in the baking of matzah, and he was very worried that as a result of machines, they would lose their jobs. It's an argument we've had with the silicon chip revolution just in the last 20 years about people losing jobs as a result of automated equipment and electronics. But that worry was forefront in his mind then. And it is very interesting because the idea of economics does affect halacha in certain places. There's this idea of shchitas chutz, that communities were worried about livelihoods of their shochtim and the economies of scale, and that they would forbid meat to be brought from outside communities, even though the meat was 100% kosher.
And here there was a question of economics that Rav Shlomo Kluger was worried about, that many women would lose their livelihoods. And he relied on a Gemara in Megillah. There's a Gemara in Megillah which says, why don't we read the Megillah on Shabbos? Well, the generally known reason why we don't read Megillah on Shabbos is because we're worried about carrying B'shus HaRabim. But there is another reason given. And there's another reason given is that the poor people would lose out. Because if you read Megillah with everybody coming to Shul on Purim, which is Shabbos, then the poor people won't be able to collect tzedakah, and therefore they will lose out. And Tosa says, "Vafilu b'mokum she'ein chashash shema yavrenu daladamus b'shus HaRabim, osu mitam haniskelel." Even though there might be an Erev in the place and there's no worry about carrying, we will still insist that no Megillah reading takes place on Shabbos. Why? In order to protect the poor people, that they can be able to collect money after the time of the reading of the Megillah. And so Kol Shekein by Matzah, he said, he made a Kal V'Chomer on this, Rav Shlomo Kluger, that Matzah, which is even more important for people's livelihood, people are actually working, because the poor people are coming on Purim, they're not working, but these people are working and they rely on it for their livelihood, for the whole year's livelihood. He said, we have to protect this happening. And therefore, he said, I do not want to see machine-baked matzah. But then he gave a few further reasons. His other three main reasons. Number one, he said, the matzah has to be baked by an adult male or adult female over the ages of 13 and 12. You're not yotze your matzah if it was baked by a deaf mute or a fool or a child. And he says, a machine is certainly no better than a cheresh out of a koton. If you're not allowed to have your matzah baked by a deaf mute, fool or child, then obviously you can't have your matzah baked by a machine. Well, he said, Yisrael omeid al gabov lo mehani, and if a Yisrael stands over the machine, lo mehani, it does not help. Well, that's also a problem, because of a person, there's another principle which we'll come to in a moment, that a person can't be responsible in making matzah if he stands over somebody else. That person who's baking is responsible. And
they're worried about it being wrong. If somebody is supervising, then the cotton we take, the cotton doesn't know the right amount of time or whatever, it adds up to something right. The same with the show time.
No. We don't allow that matzah. Because we're saying that the shota does have some sort of das atzmo. The shota has got some sort of intelligence, although he's not fully fledged. And therefore, because he's already got some sort of willpower of his own, as it were, and let's say he's kneading the dough, and there's a little bit of grain inside that dough which has not been ground properly, right? So he might not be fully aware of it. And the person who's standing over him also won't be aware of it. This is one of the arguments which the opponents of machine-baked matzah were saying, that when you knead with the hand, you will come across these little bits and pieces which Shilas come up about. And you won't recognize them when a machine is baking them. So that is the problem with Chereshot of a Kotel. And therefore, he says, Yisrael Omid al-Gabav lo mehani, there is no das in a machine, it's matzah's mitzvah, and it must be Alidei Yisrael Godol. And he says, anyone who eats a machine-baked matzah is making a bracha levatola. Yeah. And he says, even if you're only using machine-baked matzah for after the Seder night, and not the Seder night, people won't distinguish between the matzah l'shem mitzvah, the Seder night, and other matzah, and therefore he ushered the whole lot. The next reason given by Rav Shlomo Kluger was due care and attention. As we just said earlier, you might, when you're baking, notice bits and pieces inside the dough which the machine wouldn't notice. You won't recognize them. And then there's another problem, and that is the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Lamed Vav says, "V'shovin shein ilushin b'poshrin." When you are kneading the dough, you must be very careful not to knead with lukewarm water, because that might ferment the dough and into chometz. And there's the idea of mayim shalanu, water left overnight, that it's got to be cold, and so on. And there was a worry, he said, that if there isn't due care and attention which a machine can't give, then that will lead to chometz being formed. His view was also that when a person kneads a dough, it's with great energy. The amount of dough a person actually needs is a small amount. It's not a huge amount like a machine might do. And when a person kneads the dough, and you can see it on YouTube, actually, if you want to watch Matzah Bakery action in progress. And it's real hard work, and the fighting which goes on between the hands, and that, though, is something which he recognised as being very significant. He was also worried about the fact that when the dough passes through the machine, and then it came out and they were cutting to shape, round shape, there were bits left over. And those bits left over were being recycled. And those bits left over were going back into the making system, and therefore more than 18 minutes might pass, and there was a chashash that that dough will then become chometz, and that was another reason why he said osur. There is a time lag when you start recycling. He also noted that old dough was adhering to the gears and the cogs of the wheels and might stay behind in the machine, and therefore, in addition to these off bits which were cutting off, you might have bits left over in the machine which are not properly cleaned out, and therefore those will stay and result in chometz being formed. So we can already see a logic coming from this hand-baked argument, and there are people who feel very strongly about this. And he said, I had many shilas where they found whole unground wheat in the dough. One can actually feel it with the hand. And he says, and with the machines, can we safely assume that people will remember to check the machines after the 18-minute cycle to make sure it's properly clean? And he quoted a Gemara which says, Einonu min azarizin, we can't always rely on ourselves to be 100% properly careful. And therefore, due care and attention, he felt, is more pronounced when it comes to hand-baked matzah rather than machine-baked matzah. Another idea he brought was from the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Lamed Zayin, which says, Einosin srikin bepesach. What are srikin? Srikin are patterned shapes. So if you want to start making matzahs with patterned shapes, like of a rabbit or a kangaroo or whatever, then what will happen is, you know, the matzah can be perfectly kosher in the sense that it won't be chometz. The problem the Gemara is worried about is that once you start making special shapes, then by fashioning it to those shapes, you'll be spending more time on it. And as you spend more time on it, again, you're worried about the 18 minutes, and there is more likelihood of chometz being formed. The Gemara there talks about Baitus, who was okay because he had a special mold, and therefore he just pounced it on the dough, such and such like that. But the Shulchan Aruch is not happy about molds. The Rambam actually says in chapter 15, he says, fancy designs might be okay from a professional baker, because a professional baker is quick, but a person who's in the house might not be so quick, and there'll be a delay. And therefore, something which is baked b'dafus, d'fus literally means like printing, something which is baked according to a special shape, and some say it's the holes which are done in a certain pattern, then there's a problem. And therefore he says, Al Kain, Al Tishnu mi minag avoseichem, don't depart from the custom of our forefathers, who always, of course, had hand-baked matzah. We should carry on the tradition. And he ushered it completely. He got another of Rav Mordechai Zev Itunga from Lvov, who was the Shutz Mama Mordechai, to write as well, who wrote, the fire burns inside me when I see these machine-baked matzah being made. He says it's a big michshol, and he actually says it can be chometz gomur. He doesn't like the idea of them cutting off the corners. He says, when you're baking chometz, your hands have to be working on the dough, and the hands mustn't leave, go for a second. Otherwise, once you have this shahir, as it's called, then it can ferment and become chometz. So you have to be constantly working on the dough, and there's no guarantee that the machine will do this properly. And there is another thing, and that is, we use what is the length of time to become chometz. We say the shiur for walking 1 mil, 1 kilometer, 18 minutes, some say 22 and a half minutes. He says that shiur mil is only when the dough is in a very cold temperature. And if you have it in a warmer temperature, and there was an opinion developed that the machine might have a warmer temperature than the dough which is being made by the person's hand, then that shiur mil won't apply, and then your 80 minutes is not necessarily relevant, because you might need a shorter period before the dough becomes chometz. There is also an identified problem, he said, that the machine-baked matzahs were being prepared and kneaded close to the ovens, and as they were being kneaded close to the ovens, the heat from the ovens was coming out into the room temperature, and that was also affecting the dough. Rabbi Shua Heschel Ashkenazi of Lublin was also one of the opponents, and he said, Korv lios chometz gomor. And he quoted the Rambam, that the chiyuv is that it's the shei mitzvah, and even though the idea of matzah lishmor might be called a mitzvah midivrei sofrim and not midaraisa itself,
matzis midaraisa, but the Lishma, he nevertheless felt that there is a chashash chometz, and he signed against Rishin Beg Matzah. There were other opponents, the Chiddush Harim, the previous Gerer Rebbe, there was the Avnei Nezer, the Socket Shover, the brother-in-law of the Sholem Meshiv supported Rishin Beg Matzah, we'll come to him in a moment, but the brother-in-law called him a Mefroshe Hayom, he was against it, the Divrei Chaim of Zantz was against it, and the Satna Rebbe was against it. So after this came out, after this Modala Beis Yisrael came out, Rav Shol Natan Zon, the Sholem Meshiv, a very famous posek in his day, he decided to visit a matzah bakery himself, a machine bakery, and he watched how it was done, and he was greatly impressed at the speed of the matzah being baked, the cleanliness of the oven. He saw them cleaning out the oven, and they started to make square matzahs to avoid the problem of little bits of dough left over which were being recycled. That is how the square matzah came about. The opponents were saying, tradition, we've always had round matzah, and it says in the Torah, ugos matzos, ugos is hinting at the idea of cakes which are round, and therefore you mustn't have square matzah, until one Rav piped up, well actually the lechem aponim was square shaped in any case. So he supported machine baked matzah in a very strong way, and he wrote Bittel Modor. He was actually saying, I am Mevatel the Hodor of the Rav Shlomo Kluge. They got on very well together, I should say. They were on good harmonious terms, but it was a mechlokes l'shem shemaim. Their argument was purely for the sake of heaven, and Rav Natan Zon wrote, together with Rav Edlinger the Aruch Haner, a support for machine-baked matzah. He said, quoting Gemara in Avodah Zarah, you can't say tomei on the tohar. On the poor people, the economics, he said, yes, of course there is a problem. We don't want people to lose their livelihood. But baking matzah is not a charity. Baking matzah is a preparation for Pesach, which we all have to do. And there were, in fact, some communities who were making machine-baked matzah. On his advice, they added a bit to the price of the machine-baked matzah, which was obviously cheaper. And that money was used to help the poor people of the community. So it went into the welfare fund. So the poor people should not lose out. And he said, it's not a priority when you're baking matzah to think about the poor people. We have a din to look after poor people. That's fine. And as to the argument of Rav Shlomo Kluge about you don't have the Megillah on Shabbos because of the poor people, he said, when you read the Megillah, you're preaching the mitzvah of Matanos Levyonim. The whole mitzvah is spelt out in the Megillah that you give tzedakah to the poor people. So why should you worry about the poor people? Of course the poor people should get. People will still give, and if they can't give on Shabbos, then they'll give before Shabbos or after Shabbos, and the poor people will not lose out, and we will see to that. But that is not an overriding thing to prevent machine matzahs being baked, or if one they use this terrible word, progress. Because he felt actually there was progress, not chas v'sholom in the reform sense, there was progress in that there was a more mehuda matzah being baked, because the dough is really thin, because it's really kneaded well, and because there is a really hot oven, and the way it was done with automation. And he also noted, he saw many michsholim in the hand-baked matzah bakeries. He said people are working long hours, they're working 12 hours a day, it's hard work kneading the dough. There are tough conditions in these bakehouses, with people crowding around and everybody. The atmosphere is really intense, electric if I may use that word. And as a result, he said, human error can easily happen and can result in chometz being formed. That's not to say, chas v'shalom, that Moshe Rabbeinu was eating chometz, but he recognized the shortfalls of what was happening in his day, that the matzah bakeries, I don't know if you've ever visited a matzah bakery, I was fortunate once in visiting a hand-baked matzah bakery and also a machine-baked one. And the atmosphere in a hand-baked one is rushing here, rushing there, get out of the way, you know, the dough's coming to the oven, quick, 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 quick. And it's really highly strong, whereas a machine-baked, it's all calm and relaxed, even though everything is going smoothly and quickly. And he recognized this and said, the words, he quite surprisingly says, the words of Rav Shlomo Klugel are zelitzchok v'hissel. He says, this is a laughing matter the way he writes. It's just not true that there's a problem with chometz with the machine baked. And he says, Yasu mashilibam chofetz kadakom, people should be able to do whatever they want. And the Ksav Sofer writes in his Tshuvas in an appendix, Arachayim Siman Beis, a considerable support for machine baked matzah. He noted the michsholos with the hand baked matzahs, and he noted that there were often bad workers and they couldn't get decent Jewish workers, who were conscientious in their job, and they were getting workers off the streets in the hand-baked nuts in the factories, and there were problems with them. And he says, I visited a bakery where I saw the machine bake matzah. He says, there's a better zerizos. And nevertheless, there's certain things you've got to be careful about. He said, I don't need to enter a whole pilpul to explain why machine bake matzahs are 100% kosher. He says, let these other people say what they want to say. Hashem knows that we're doing it l'shem shemaim. It's kosher, kadosh, u'chadin. But then he proceeds to list various takonos, rules which should be observed in a machine matzah bakery, such as not covering the machine, that it should remain exposed, and where the workers should be standing, there should be two people over here and two people over there, and no paper should be put out on the table which the dough rests on, and no delay between the stages. And he made a whole list of different rules which should be observed in the matzah bakery, and he said, I'm entirely satisfied. Rav Shmuel Salant, a very well-known posek who was in Yerushalayim, he wrote about this also in the year 1903, when the firm Cohen Halperin started in Jerusalem with machine-baked matzahs, and he described them as mehudar. He says matzahs mechon heim kasheros v'ulai afilu mehudaros. Not only are they kosher, but I believe perhaps they are even mehudar, even better than the hand-baked matzah. And I'm aware of certain rabbonim, such as Rav Lev Gurvitz, the previous Rosh Yeshiva of Gateshead, who would only eat machine-baked matzah, because it was felt to be more mehuda. But at that time, in 1903, 3 days after he pronounced his hechsher on Cohen Halperin, the Hasidim issued a flyer listing various rabbonim who were forbidding machine-baked matzah. And in 1908, the Avnei Nezer came out in support of these opponents. And nevertheless, then there was another rebound of the proponents. Rav Naftali Amsterdam, a pupil of Rav Yisrael Salanter, he came out and saying it's okay. The Hasidim were quoting the Maharsham of Brezen, who said it's not true and it's a forgery, the letter which was issued, and there was already this kind of scandal going on that this Heksher was not a Heksher and there was a forgery and so on. It was also alleged that after Rav Natanzon, who was the Sholem Eishiv, passed away, certain rabbonim were alleging that when he was very ill on his deathbed, he said he got regret for having allowed machine-baked matzah, and it's better to use hand-baked matzah. But I don't know how they could have said this without any evidence. More recently, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in the Mikroi Kodesh wrote in detail about this subject, quoting from the Chazon Ish. And he spoke about this inyan of Koach Rishon. He said, since it starts with the Koach Rishon, everything that carries on from there is not a groma, is not a causation, but it's kosher, kol ma shenase achakach, avshelo mekoach gavro. Even if it's not from the koach of a person, nevertheless, it's still okay. And he quoted the Noda Behuda in his support on this principle in Yeridel Simon Kufayin Hay. Now, what if a goy is doing the work and the Jew is watching, he writes about. And this goes on this question which you asked before about what if a cheresh shows if a kosher is baking and someone's watching over them. He says, he compares it to the writing of a get, a divorce where it has to be actually written lishmo by a person who is a Jew. And then he compares it to the ibudaros for tefillin, and he compares it also to tzitzis. It's okay if the Jew watches somebody making tzitzis. But matzah, he says, is different, because matzah is something which requires shimur, or shemar temes hamatzos. There's an added incentive to have more human participation by the idea of shimur. And there's a principle, chazoka ein odom mishamem masha biyad chavero. What is done in the hands of his friend, the person can't be properly mishamer. So that is, if a cheresh shot of a cotton is actually doing the work and somebody else is standing over them, that conflicts with this principle of ein odom mishamer masha biyad chavero. That once there's another person actually involved, the other person can't be doing a proper shemiro. And the question, of course, is, can supervising a machine be okay? Is a machine called biyad chavero, like another person? Or do we simply say a machine is something which is eino biyodo? It's not in his own hand, but he's seeing what's going on. There are two principles then. If you're baking matzah, which is eino biyodo, which is not in your hand, that might still be okay, provided you have adequate supervision over it, adequate shimur.
But if the matzah is being baked biyad chaveiro, completely in the hands of a different person, that is no good. That is not allowed. Because of the din of shimur with matzah. So the question is, asks Rav Svi Pesach Frank, do we say the machine-baked matzah is eino biyado, which is okay, or biyad chaveiro, it's as if it's in the hands of another person. And he quotes from the Admor Mistrafkov, who says that the machine-baked matzah is okay in that regard. Even if it's eino biyado, but in another person's hand it's not okay, but there can still be matzah smitzvah and kavona l'shem matzah smitzvah when it's not in your hand. It's like an extension of your own hand. And we can't compare it to the goy who's kneading or the cheresh to the cotton who's kneading. The machine is not biyad chaveiro, it's simply eino biyado, therefore he says it's okay. Well, the opponents were fighting back, and the Shutzmer Yehoshua Simen Yud claimed that the Sholem Meshiv, as I said, told pupils before his death his regrets, and he also noted that many people who were operating machines suffered industrial injuries, and it is in fact the case once that Rav Yosef Duna lost a bit of his finger in a matzah machine one year when he was supervising, and we were worried that when we were eating our matzah that year that we might be getting remnants from it. But pardon? Yeah. There are a number of other concerns which were written by Rav Harpanas, who writes in a Satzma publication concerning the modern form of machine-baked matzah, because the kind we have now is already different to the kind which existed in 1850s. He spoke about discovering wheat kernels which are not ground when kneading by hand. He held Ein Odom Hashamei Masha Biyad Chaveiro. He made a svara to say that Biyad Chaveiro applies with matzah, and therefore with machine-baked matzah, and therefore you should have hand-baked. He said that the machines are baking very large amounts, and he quotes from the Shulchan Aruch Rav Simon Tov Nun Vov that even with large ovens you should keep your dough relatively small, the shear of a challah, of what you separate challah for, and even if the shear mill is applied, because there's a rule that you shouldn't have too large a dough. But the Masham in Chelek Beis disputes that. He gives another thing, and that is when you have lubrication going on the machines, like you're oiling the wheels to ensure that there is a speed, he was worried that the oil could filter through into the matzah. And mayperos, oil has a din of mayperos, like fruit juice, which must not be mixed with water to make matzah, because that speeds up the fermentation process and could turn into chometz. Certainly in those days they were probably not using WD-40, they were using ordinary olive oil or something to lubricate the machines, and he was worried that that would get into the matzah. He also quotes the Shutz Levushe Mordechai, Chelek Aleph Pei Dalad, who was very worried about machine-baked matzah and who ushered it, that the machine might only knead outer parts of the dough. He was also worried that the water might not be distributed equally in the dough. And he said there's no proof that the machine cancels out shahia. Shahia is the delay in it fermenting by moving the dough the whole time. When the hand is rough against the dough, that stops it fermenting. And he said there's no proof that the same shahia applies by machines. He was worried about the machine getting warmer as it continues, and that the warmth might have an effect on fermentation. He quotes the Schutz Beis Sha'orim, that ovens with mixers and kneading in the same room can cause higher temperatures, and that would be osur, and he quotes the Shulchan Aruch Tovnun Tes on this, and, well, modern bakeries have taken that on board. He also was worried about the economics for the poor, helping them to have a job, and he says that all previous Rabbonim, he said, were against, or were having hand-baked matzah, so we've got a tradition, let's carry on the tradition. And he was worried about crumbs in the machine. Nowadays, the machine-baked matzah are made in machines which are often non-stick, like Teflon, being used, that they cannot stick. They stop the machine every 80 minutes, they do a thorough clean-out, and he recognizes that Masham says that the humans are operating machines, it's choshev kakach odom. More recently there was an article of Diane Lerner, who was sadly nifta just a couple of weeks ago, and he speaks about the modern machines. He noted the 12-hour day being the poor adequate attention by some bakers. He quotes the Malbim who supported machines,
the Mari Asad, who allowed square matzahs as a result. And he says that Dinah Brumsky was still worried about the square-shaped matzahs, about bits of dough left over. Dinah Brumsky devised a constantly vibrating drum in which dough was held pending its reuse. So there was dough being reused and recycled, but this drum was constantly moving it so that it would maintain its shahir. He spoke about the rolling and the cutting areas being away from the heat of the ovens, and that special air cooling cabinets have been devised to ensure that the heat is not excessive, all moving parts having non-stick surfaces, constant high-velocity air ensuring the residual bits are blown away from the dough, like fans which are blowing away these bits of dough, and also that the supervisors now in the machine-baked matzahs have kind of air guns in their hands to blow on the machines to remove any dough which might get into the crevices. So the beauty of science and technology being used for tradition is very nice, but the arguments carry on. And in general, the Hasidic communities are against the machine-baked matzah and are not using them at all, and continue with the hand-baked matzah. We have the fortunate hechsher of a very reliable union of Orthodox Hebrew congregations who give us machine-baked matzah, and as we've heard from certain sources, it's regarded as mehudar, as more better baked. I'll just finish off with an idea generally about matzah, chag ha-matzos, in conclusion. Whilst we look forward to our crispy and tasty matzah, it's very interesting to note that when the Torah talks about the festival of Pesach, it calls it chag ha-matzos. When we talk about the festival, we never talk about chag ha-matzos approaching. We talk about Pesach approaching. Why is it that colloquially we talk about Pesach, yet the Torah talks about chag ha-matzos? And there's a very interesting alshich on this. He says, Hashem wants to give us credit. When Hashem writes the Torah, he calls it Chag HaMatzos, because the matzah symbolizes the speed and the enthusiasm and the energy which we put into Avodas Hashem by baking the matzah, by demonstrating our enthusiasm for doing the service of Hashem when we bake the matzah. Hashem gives us credit. So he calls it Chag HaMatzos. But we don't want to give ourselves credit. We want to give Hashem credit for what he did. What did he do? He passed over the Jewish houses, saving the firstborn from being killed. The Pesach, the Passover, is what's special for us. So we call it Pesach. So we give him credit by calling it Pesach, and he gives us credit by calling it Chag HaMatzos. And we find this idea in other things as well. We wear our tefillin, and in our tefillin we say, Hashem Echod U'Shemem Echod. Hashem also puts on tefillin. Keshet tefillin herolonov. What does he write in his tefillin? Umika amcha Yisrael ge'echod baretz. Who is like your people Israel, one nation in the land? There's also an idea on Purim, that we lay on Purim on Amalek a different parsha to what we lay on Parsha Zohar on Kiseitse. In Kiseitse, the mitzvah of Parsha Zohar is midaraisa, so we have to do what the Torah tells us to do. And what does Hashem say in the end of Kiseitse? Asher korcho baderech, you came across by chance Amalek. Hashem doesn't want to show up that we were at fault, that Amalek would start on us. Asher korcho baderech. But when we lay on Purim, Chazal decided what we lay on Purim. We lay in the end of Beshalach, where we say Kiyod al Keisko, where we recognize that the whole problem of Amalek is that it prevents the fulfillment of the Shiach and Hashem being in his complete state, as he would with Yud Kei Vov Kei. So it says Kiyod al Keisko. And it's interesting because we talk about Kriyas Yamsuf. We talk about on Pesach the splitting of the Red Sea, Kriyas Yamsuf. Where does this word Kriyas come from? It's not in the Torah. Hashem tones it down. He divided the water. We use a more dramatic terminology in our colloquial language, Kriyas Yamsuf. We glorify what Hashem did for us. So the beauty of Pesach as it comes now is that we got this fantastic relationship. Am Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are praising Hashem. Hashem is praising us. It's a fantastic relationship. We tone down the praise for ourselves. We got to show humility. But the greatness of Hashem is that he shows humility as well. He calls it Chag HaMatzos because he identifies the enthusiasm, the determination for us to keep his mitzvahs properly. May we all have a very nice and tasty and crispy Chag HaMatzos.
Thank you.